You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Et maintenant, Olivier Guérin, co-auteur du livre Performer en vente, et vous écoutez The Marketing Book Podcast. This is Olivier Guérin, co-author of How to Perform in Sales, and you are listening to the Great Marketing Book Podcast.
Welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast, helping you keep up with the smartest thinking in the quickly changing field of modern marketing. And now, here's your host, Douglas Burdett.
Hello, and thanks for joining me on the Marketing Book Podcast, where each week I publish an interview with the author of a new marketing or sales book, and which was named by Forbes as one of 11 smart podcasts that will keep you in the know, and named by LinkedIn as one of 10 podcasts that will make you a better marketer. Don't worry about taking notes. You can find links to everything linkable in this episode's website page at marketingbookpodcast.com. And since you're a listener to the Marketing Book Podcast, and I read every book featured on the show, if I can recommend a specific marketing or sales book or any other resource I know of for whatever challenge you're facing, send me a LinkedIn connection invite with a message indicating you're a listener so I won't mistake you for a spammer and ignore you, and I will do my best to get you pointed in the right direction. I do this podcast to help me and my listeners keep up with the latest ideas that matter most in the quickly changing and somewhat overwhelming world of modern marketing and sales. My day job is running a marketing agency that helps manufacturers and industrial companies grow their revenue. To learn more about the problems we solve and how we do it, visit salesartillery.com. All right, enough yakking. Let's get on with the show. Today, we welcome Olivier Guérin to the Marketing Book Podcast to talk about the book he has authored with Olivier Cusac and Alexandre David Artit, Performer en Vente, published by Vuibert. Olivier Guérin is the founding principal of Bridge Development, a sales transformation company in France. After graduating from Neoma Business School, he started his career in the field of IT consulting in Paris, but after a few years, he switched to the dark side. Sales, that is, where he spent 18 years in sales and sales management, after which he founded Bridge Development. And, interesting fact, as a salesman, he doesn't play by anyone's rules. In fact, even his first car accident was before he even had a license. Olivier, congratulations on Performer en Vente, and welcome to the Marketing Book Podcast.
Thanks, Douglas. I'm so happy to be with you today.
So this is a really special bonus episode of the Marketing Book Podcast, and I should explain that Olivier has been a listener for years.
Yes.
To the Marketing Book Podcast, and he's one of the few people that has commented on how he gets my jokes, and I think, wow, I really feel sorry for that guy. But we've become friends, and last summer, you had me speak to your alumni association.
Yes.
At Neoma, which is one of the top business schools in France.
Yes.
And then as a thank you, you sent me some very nice alcohol.
Yes.
From, two bottles from France. And they didn't last long, but I really appreciated that. In fact, my daughter, who's now in sales in New York City, just before she left, the bottles arrived, and she didn't take much with her to New York, but she took one of those bottles.
Oh.
She said, "Dad, I'll be taking this." And actually, you've spoken to her, and she speaks French, and my wife speaks French, and I just thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to you, and there's a couple reasons why I wanted to speak to you. Now, I should explain to everybody that if you don't speak French, you're not going to be able to read this book. It's only in French.
Yes.
If you do speak French, you definitely need to read this book.
Mm.
My wife and my daughter both speak French. They both lived in Paris. And frankly, I've been married almost 30 years now. And I'm thinking, you know, by interviewing an author in France, this might be the one instance where my wife might be impressed. And
oh, no, so, you're tough with you, Douglas.
So I think that I'm doing this. I hope she'll be impressed, and I kind of have a feeling I know what she's going to say. She's going to say, you have a podcast? Or she's going to say, yeah, what is it you do anyway? So regardless. So this is this interview won't be quite as long, but I wanted to talk to you about it. And normally in an interview I do, I read a passage from the beginning of the book. Now, I don't speak French, but for those people who do speak French, I want to play this recording. It's about a minute long of someone reading from the book and give you an idea of what it's like, and then we'll get into a few of the discussions. So even if you don't end up reading this book, some of the things that we're going to talk about I think would be very helpful for marketers and salespeople. And I also have to say that Olivier went to the trouble to put the entire book through Google Translate so that I could sort of see what the book was about.
Yes.
And I appreciate you doing that. So first, let's play this recording.
Yes.
And I think you may recognize who's doing the reading. Ready?
I have an idea.
Que vous soyez dans les rayons d'une librairie ou d'une grande enseigne, que vous soyez dans une bibliothèque, publique ou privée, que vous soyez en train de feuilleter physiquement ou numériquement les pages de ce livre, sachez que vous êtes sur le point de prendre de l'avance, de reprendre de l'avance, ou bien de combler votre retard. S'intéresser à ce livre, c'est déjà se différencier. Depuis des années maintenant, nous, les auteurs de ce guide, posons régulièrement la question suivante aux personnes que nous formons sur le thème de la vente. Quel est le dernier livre sur la vente que vous avez lu ? La réponse est souvent, trop souvent, la même. Un long silence gêné. En retour, il nous est souvent demandé par quel livre commencer. C'est entre autres pour cette raison que nous avons travaillé sur ce livre. Apporter en un seul endroit les réponses concrètes aux questions qui tourmentent celles et ceux qui ont quelque chose à vendre, qu'il s'agisse de leur métier ou d'une partie de leur activité. Celle qui est indispensable à la survie de leur entreprise bien souvent. Ce guide a été pensé pour les commerciaux, les managers, les dirigeants, les consultants, les artisans, les étudiants. Ce guide a été pensé pour les salariés, les indépendants, les professions libérales, les auto-entrepreneurs. Vendre, ce n'est pas une question de statut ni de titre sur votre carte de visite. C'est une question de survie de l'entreprise ou du projet qui vous anime.
So did you recognize who that was?
Of course, it's my friend Flavie.
Yes, Flavie Prévost. She's in Paris, right?
She's in Paris, and she has a job as head of sales of a famous car renting company, Sixt. But she's also a famous podcaster in France, and she's recording a very interesting podcast named The Board, or she's inviting lots of very interesting people. I think she invited you, Douglas.
So with one exception, she has interviewed very interesting people. She interviewed me last year for her show, and it was all in English. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I have too much respect for the French language. And then she did a big post, and we'll include a link to it at this episode's website page at marketingbookpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was in French. I sent that to my wife and daughter. I didn't get much of a reaction, so I continue to try to impress them. But I think this is what's finally gonna push things over. Yeah. Well, I'll never stop trying to impress my wife. So, Olivier, tell me about perhaps some of the reasons that Flavie was talking about there in French. What was it that led to the development of this book? What was the problem you were trying to solve?
You want the main reason, the first one. The biggest one at the beginning, of course.
What's the biggest reason?
The main reason why I wrote this book, the main reason you want it, of course. It's only because I wanted to be interviewed by you, Douglas, you can imagine.
Oh, my goodness, I'm so flattered. But, you know, it is important to have goals, isn't it,
yeah,
Olivier?
It was my goal. It was to be interviewed by on the greatest podcast in the world, on the planet, and on the greatest podcaster that you are, of course.
Oh, please, don't stop. No. I have my motivation, you have yours. That's great. It's so much fun to talk to you anyway.
And the second reason is also because I know you have the most handsome and smarter listeners also.
Oh, I do. That's science, Olivier. I've tested it. I have the best looking audience.
There is no coincidence.
I mean, look at Flavie Prévost. I mean, she's beautiful. An example of one person in France who listens.
And she has also a very beautiful voice.
Yes, yes. Huh? And for people that don't know, Olivier is not an unattractive man himself. So there will be a picture of him at this episode's website page at marketingbookpodcast.com. But let's get into the real reason. It had to do with reading.
Yeah, the main reason is because I am trying to help. I am very altruistic, and I'm trying to help all the person who have something to sell. And that makes lots of people, millions of people, have something to sell. Salesperson, of course, but also person working for their own, and even accountants, and even lawyers, and even marketing people have something to sell.
Yes.
And husbands also have something, from time to time, have to send something to their wife also. Everybody
right. And there's something in the introduction that Flavie read, and again, I thank the nice people at Google for trying to translate this for me, but it had to do with people will ask you all like what book they should read, and then you ask them what have they already read, and they haven't read anything. Is that right?
That's it. I cannot imagine the American market of books about sales. I think it is much more developed than in France. But I made a short calculation. I think in France that's something between 50,000 or 100,000 books are bought every year about sales in France. And there is perhaps 4 million persons trying to sell something. And even I think that some persons are buying lots of books about sales. I personally have 50, 60 books about sales on my shelves. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, not very few persons are investing even 30 euros or $30 to convert it in their career. It's tragic, in fact. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It seems to be incredible.
Well, and I think there's no higher return on investment than buying a book. These authors, for whom I have such great admiration and respect, they basically pour their whole life's experience out and tell you exactly what you need to do. And it's like spending 4 or 8 hours with them over the course of a couple of days, getting your brain rewired. So it's really the right book at the right time in your life can really transform your career. And I certainly have experienced that. And that's why, if folks haven't read a French sales book, here it is. And I know that you're such a student of many of the authors that I've authors of sales books that I've had on. Mm-hmm. Let's jump to something in the book where there's a subsection called something like "Marketing is My Ally."
Yeah.
Explain that. And I guess, you know, I should also add, I am so surprised after 6 years. At the number of salespeople who listen to the Marketing Book podcast. And I think that's a great thing. And it reminds me of a story from Mark Hunter's latest book, A Mind for Sales, where he was working with a client, helping them with their sales, the whole transformation, just like you do. And the owner of the company said, please spend some time with these two young guys because we think they might be doing something illegal. Their sales are like we've never seen before. And so he said, oh, okay, I'll be here for a week or so. And he spent time with these two young guys, and they were very, very successful. They spent a lot of time with their marketing colleagues, and they were learning everything they could about marketing. And he said, no, there's nothing wrong with these guys. They're just using every marketing. They're increasing their knowledge about marketing to increase their sales. So perhaps you could talk about what you all talk about in the book about marketing is my ally.
Yeah, but my first answer is I think you are like the General Secretary of the United Nations, Douglas, you personally, because you are trying to reconcile, to make work together sales and marketing thanks to your podcast.
It is. Well, and that's one of my favorite.
You are working on that also.
Yes. So if you don't mind, please call me Secretary General Douglas.
You like it. Huh? You like it?
I used to live near the UN in New York City, and I always admired those diplomats because of their ability to park anywhere and not get a ticket, a parking ticket. That's all I ever wanted. But there's the intersection of sales and marketing is of great interest to me, and I the need for sales and marketing alignment is so acute now. And as I often say, the most successful marketers are the ones that spend time with their sales colleagues.
And the contrary is true also.
Yeah.
But in fact, it is so sad to see this. It is like a trench warfare, in fact, between these two professions, between sales and marketing.
Yeah? Oh, absolutely. There have been studies by Gartner, looking back a few years when it was the CEB people, mm-hmm. where they assessed the perception of marketing people by sales and the perception of sales by marketing people. And I think like 75% of the perceptions were negative.
Okay. So you
it was definitely trench warfare. Yeah.
It's true that I cannot admit any excuses of salesperson saying that marketing is sending bad leads, and I always listen to this type of excuses. In fact, there is only two types of salesperson: the ones who are looking for excuses. So they are looking, I don't want to call these leads, and etc. And the one who are not looking for excuses. And they accept the fact that there can be golden nuggets in these leads, and they just have to take their phone and call this person, it's incredible for me. It's really incredible. And I have a short story about that in my past as a salesperson. We've got some leads from the marketing, and one salesperson in Paris did not want to call these leads. And because I was in Provence, do you know the term Provence? I was not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Provence, it's everything out of Paris. That's it. And I had these leads from Paris that salesperson did not want to care with. But I did my job. I called all these leads, and among all these leads, I found the golden nugget. It was a client. And in 3 years' time, we produced 4 million euros with this client. It was only one call.
Why did the other guy not want to call?
Because
he thought it was a waste of time.
Because he was in Paris, you know. It was so, there was so much business, and it was so I don't get the English terms for that, but it was diminishing in himself to call these leads, these people, which. In an Excel file, you know, it was not interesting for him.
Let me ask you this. Have you dealt with companies now who have salespeople who think that it's not their responsibility to generate their own leads and prospect?
Yes. Also, yeah, for sure. I have lots of salesperson are just waiting for the phone ringing, in fact, also.
Right. Yes, there's some authors that have been on the show, Jeb Blunt and Anthony Annarino, and they often talk about rain barrels that capture rain versus rain makers, people that go out and make the skies open up with rain. So,
yeah, your perfect image to use.
Yeah. Sure. Well, at the beginning of the book, there's a part about the state of mind. What sort of state of mind is a key factor to success in selling?
Well, one of the key factors is to get pleasure every day. Is to be just happy to make people happy, to help people. And when I answered you at the beginning of the interview that I'm trying to help with this book, it's also the truth with sales. Selling is helping. It is so great to take when I'm calling a prospect, or when I'm called by somebody, because in fact most of my leads, people are calling me, in fact, but I'm so happy to try to help them. It is so rewarding, and I will share also with you. I'm working. I don't know if I told you. I'm working with a company based in Boston, named Objective Management Group.
Oh yes.
You know
is that
them?
Affiliated with? Is that the Dave Curlin connection?
Yes, it's Dave.
I've actually taken an assessment from Objective Management Group.
Yeah, and I worked for them for 5 years, and I really appreciate Dave because he's an incredible guy. He has written 1,900 articles about sales in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite resilient.
And his book is well known. Baseline
yes.
Selling.
Yeah, that's it. It is one of my reference. Also, so you know, his book, yeah, very interesting book. I have it just in front of me, in fact. And he has, thanks to this database, Objective Management, it's a database of more than 2 million salesperson we were evaluating in 30 years. And it is the most comprehensive database about sales competencies. And there is a part on motivation. And what's motivating the best salespeople? It's not money only. It's recognition. Mm. The pleasure to be recognized by their clients, by their managers, by their counterparts. It is so, you know, and that's it. It is the target you have to aim to take pleasure. It is the mindset you have to have you have to get to every day enjoy this profession, which is great. I want to make sales great again. Douglas, that's why. That's
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you have my vote.
You have my okay. I
yes.
appreciate.
And that database of 2 million people probably has me in it. I hope you don't look up how I did. And you know who gave it to me was Mark Roberge, who was with HubSpot,
yes.
and he wrote the sales acceleration formula. His dad was affiliated with them,
exactly.
and he's the one that that had me do that. And I just remember I go to sales training. I still go to sales training every week if I can with a company called Sandler.
Yeah, with Brad.
And, well, Brad McDonald used to be there, but he's since gone to work for the corporate. And Brad wrote a book that it's been on the show called
yes.
The Psychology of Sales. And Chad Stenzel is now my trainer. But I can remember years ago when I started with Brad, this is 15 or so years ago, I started and he assessed me and he said, Douglas, there's a problem. As it relates to money motivation, you scored zero. He says, I've never seen that before. And I thought, oh man, that's not good, but I don't know.
It can help to have this both type of motivation, that is to say intrinsic and extrinsic motivation, because it helps. When you don't have recognition, you can have money and the contrary also. So it can help. It's not only money. It could be vacations and nice place or money. But
so let me ask you about something else. And again, some of my questions may be based on some discrepancies with Google Translate, but there was a section on page 49, I believe, is about how knowing yourself better can help you to better understand your clients. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, because in fact, I will give you a short example. Perhaps you know Hermann Brain Dominance Indicator. I will take a short example. You know this one? Hermann Brain HBDI, you know?
I'm not sure I do.
Hermann Brain Dominance Indicator, it is a test you can go through to know your brain preference.
Uh-huh.
And
I'll look that up. That sounds very interesting. And if I can find an explanation, I'll include it on your episode's website page.
Okay, so I will make it short. In fact, we have some brain preference. Some people they like facts. Some people they want to hear something about future. Others they want process, and others they prefer people and feelings. In fact, and if you don't know yourself, Well, your preference is going to people, for example, and you are in front of a CFO and you are only talking about people and all you care about people and it's great and we make people happy, but you do not give any figures and any proof of what you are saying. You won't be trusted. So you have to know yourself before talking to people, and to complete your discussion with complementary arguments or proofs and vision and also process for everybody. In fact,
interesting. I know it brings to mind something we do at Sandler called DISC, D-I-S-C.
Yes.
And they spend a lot of time on that. And that's where most people are in one of four groups. And just to use a bird analogy, some people are eagles, some people are parakeets, some people are doves, and some people are owls. And they have various dominant characteristics. But you have to know how you are.
Yes.
Where you are before you can deal with the different types of people.
That's it. This is the same principle, in fact. And okay. Also, when you know yourself, it also can help you to deal with a stressful situation.
Mm-hmm.
When you know what can stress you, it will help you to anticipate problems, of course.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk just a little bit about communication. What are some of the communication that helps to open doors to prospects and that make for effective communication that you all talk about in the book?
I'm a big fan of questioning skills. I do not believe in nonverbal communication. I do not believe in growth hacking.
Why do you say that?
Because there is no shortcut to sales success, and I believe in effective and deep communication skills. That is to say, how to listen carefully, how to question very efficient questioning, and I even believe in silence. To make people say what they want to say, or to let them say what they really want to say to you. So it is, for instance, you have a great episode with Paul Cherry.
Yes, Paul Cherry. I just spoke to him recently. Yeah, his book is Questions That Sell.
It is a very interesting book. I encourage your listeners to listen to this episode of your podcast also. And questions are so powerful. I don't understand why kids under 10 they all ask very open question. Why questions?
Yes.
And after 10, they forgot. And as adults, we forgot to ask very open and wide questions. I don't understand why. I have no explanation of that.
I don't know. I can only suggest something, and that is when I was in first grade, I was in a Catholic school just for that 1 year. And it was there was a nun who was in charge of our class, and her name was Mother Joubert. And she was, I think, French-Canadian, and she had a thick French accent. Anyway, one day she took me out of class, and she walked me down to the cafeteria, and she got herself a cup of coffee. And I didn't know what was going on. Like, why did she bring me? And I finally said, why are we here? What's going on? And the only thing she said, she put her coffee cup down and said, you ask too many questions. So obviously, that never stopped me. Look at me now. poor Mother Joubert up in heaven is probably thinking, yeah, I told you, he asked too many questions. But maybe that's what happens. But questions are so powerful. And even when you're using questions, you can see people's body language change just a bit. Mm-hmm. It's like the only thing they'll remember. And of course, the other thing to use is the proper use of stories when doing sales. But I agree with you that there's no shortcut in sales. There's no shortcut in marketing. And yet, so many businesses want that hack that silver bullet, whatever that is.
There is no silver bullet in sales. And I will complete with a very powerful quote that I write, that I like very much, from a French economist, Jean Fourastier, who is one of the father of the European Union. He said at the beginning of the 70s, the machinery will force human to specialize in human. I try to make an English translation. It's the machine, you understand that, of course?
Yes.
And you can replace now by the IA. The IA will force salesperson to specialize in human humans, to be humans, in fact, and asking questions, listening carefully.
Yes.
It is what they have to do, all this salesperson, because, however, they will be replaced by a website.
Yes. And recently I published an interview with Philip Kotler, the father of modern marketing. Yeah. He came on to the podcast to celebrate his 90th birthday. Hey, you know, some people do different things for their birthdays.
Yes.
And it was a great interview, great a book. And it's Marketing 5.0, Technology for Humanity. And he explains in the book about very clearly, these are the things that machines can do better than humans. But these are the things that humans will never be beaten by machines on. And it helps, I think, a lot of people look forward and think, okay, I could see how certain tasks that I'm doing, a machine could do better. I will now focus on the things that only the humans are better at. So it's very interesting and very true, very consistent with what you have there. Now, one other thing I want to ask you about, you've been writing a lot of articles, and you also have some goals about books. Tell us about that.
My goal is to be a member of the Free Timers Club of the Marketing Book Podcast, I think.
The Marketing Book Podcast 3. Yes, and you'll get discount coupons at Taco Bell. I don't know if they have Taco Bell in France, but
I fly regularly to Boston, so I will find a Taco Bell in Boston to use my.
When that happens, all you have to do is just drive up to the Taco Bell. Don't go inside, please. But where you order your food through the little microphone, just say, "I'm Olivier Guérin, and I am a member of the Marketing Book Podcast 3 Timers Club," and watch how your life will change.
Yeah.
Watch
sure.
what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I'm 48, and my goal is to have written 5 books before I'm 51. So I have some.
Ooh.
But
you write a lot. You write a lot.
I write a lot, yeah.
And it's all at your website, right?
Three years ago, I decided to write one sales pill, because I'm a sales doctor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sales
right.
pill. It's a short newsletter, but very practical about sales. And next Friday it will be my 156th article. So I'm quite resilient, and I'm less. I have some work to write, so as much as article as Dave Kurland that we talk about early on, because he wrote close to 2,000 articles. Dave, he's a mentor for me. He's a model for sure.
Yes, and it also brings to mind Seth Godin. He's posted a blog post every day for at least 10 years. And Anthony Annarino, who has written several fantastic sales books,
for sure.
he started doing that years ago. Maybe he did it 10 years ago. I think Seth Godin's done it much, much longer. But he writes an article every single day. And I think that they all know each other, but that's very important, and it gets your writing muscles going. It helps you think through things and gives you an idea, and you also get feedback from people who are reading your content, and you're getting a reaction. You're also finding out which topics are more popular.
it is so incredible that at the beginning, when I remember when I started to write some articles, it was so difficult to find an idea and to write. But now you just talk about the writing muscle, huh? Mm-hmm. And now it's quite easier for me to write, and it is so powerful also to help. It helps you to be much clearer on your idea you are bringing to people. Also, writing, it is so powerful. And it's also a pleasure, because also you have this feedback of people telling you that it's great, that it's helped us. And we are monster of selfishness. Huh? So I really like when people say they like what I'm writing. It's selfish.
And you can also see what's being written more. I was just reading an article or reading a book today for an interview I'm doing this week with Joe Polizzi on his second edition of Content Inc. And he writes in the book about Jay Baer, who got started a while back. And Jay's been on the podcast several times. He's a fantastic New York Times bestselling author. And he talked about how when he was starting out with his own his latest business, he was writing articles about email marketing. Mm-hmm. And so this may have been at least 10 years ago. And then he would write an article on social media and it would blow up. That started to tell him, oh, maybe I should focus more on social media. And there have been a number of authors who've written articles on their blogs or elsewhere where they got such fantastic feedback, they said, oh, I'm on to something. And even like someone like David Merriman Scott, he updates his new rules of marketing and PR every 2 years or so. And what he does now is he publishes articles every week, and he's able to get people to react to it and find out what's interesting. Or it's sort of like testing out his ideas, which gives them this almost insurmountable lead in their books, because it's like a comedian that tests out their material small comedy clubs before they go on and do a Netflix special. One other question I want to ask you about is, so you've been in the United States, you're in France, I'm in the U.S., are there any significant cultural differences as it relates to sales and selling and being sold to in the U.S. versus in France?
Perhaps that individual performance, it's something that is very important in the U.S. Could be, I think, because when I visited a bookstore or a magazine store in the airport, it was in Boston. I thought that there were lots of books about individual performance and self performance. So
in France, self improvement and personal productivity. Yeah.
In France, uh-huh. It's less developed, but it's now, because in France we have always 5 years, we are lagging behind the US. 5 years, we are doing things 5 years after the US. Now it's more, there are more books about self improvement in France. You know, we always the trends make a few years to cross the ocean. To come in France.
Interesting.
Yeah. But in sales, there is not so much difference, in fact. And also because I made a comparison thanks to the database of OMG Objective Management Group between French salesperson and American salesperson. And there was not a lot of differences.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, people are people, as Depeche Mode will tell you.
Issues are the same all over the world. Salesperson are not asking enough questions, not enough good questions, and they are not listening to the answer.
Yes.
They are listening to answer. They are not listening to understand.
Yes. They're trying to figure out what they're going to say next.
That's it.
While the other person is talking. So, Olivier, if readers took only one thing away from this book, what would you and your co-authors hope it would be?
In fact, one very important thing in this book is to share with CEOs, with managers, even with salesperson, that it is important to be very demanding on yourself, not on the final result, that is to say money, market shares, revenue. It is not importing. It is not the most important part. You should be very demanding on your gestures and the quality of your conversation, the good actions that leads to sales success. And then you will have revenue, money, market shares, and not the contrary.
Right. Focus on the activity you can control rather than worrying about the outcome.
Yeah, the activity and the behaviors you have, the behaviors and you have in the activity, you know, and the words you are carefully using. And
yes.
the very active listening you can use to get information.
Yes. I keep telling my daughter that. She has a sales job in New York, and she says, oh, I need to get another deal. And I say, look, and the company she works for, they keep saying, no, just keep focusing on your, you know, your activity and your KPIs. And said, you know, actions lead to transactions. So
yes.
Focus on that. And there was another book on the show. I say that a lot. I realize there's been a few hundred books, but one by Rand Fishkin about his book Lost and Founder, which is a great, great book about the startup world and his adventure there. And at the end of the book, he talked about how if you just focus on your activity rather than the outcome, you'll be more successful and happier. So that's a very good point. What's one thing a listener could do today just to put in action, you know, one of the ideas from your book or one that we've talked about?
In fact, there is a page, a very important page in this book, and it will be also, it is advice for your listeners, but also for your daughter. It is to use referrals.
Oh, yes.
It's incredible.
It is.
How bad salesperson are with that?
There was another book on the show by John Jantz called The Referral Engine.
Yes.
And he explains how so much business comes from referrals, yet most companies don't have a system to ask for referrals. And he shows you how to do that. And it's really sort of overlooked by people. But also, if you can work referrals into your sales process where you say, I'm going to, you know, be asking you for a referral, it kind of sets you up for that. And it's so powerful. That is such a great idea. There's something to it. There's a right way and wrong way to do it, obviously. So maybe that could be one of your books.
Yeah, but I will share with you and your listener will I will say four questions. These four questions will with multiple zeros or dollars you will get with this fourth question. And there is a framework to follow when you ask for referrals. First, you can ask, for instance, Douglas, I will ask a question and feel comfortable to say no to me. No offense, it's okay. Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay, first question. Second question, can you help me, Douglas?
Can I help you?
Yes. Can you help
me?
Sure.
What? Or possibly, yes.
Possibly, yes. It is the worst answer you will get. It depends.
You know, okay, yeah.
Nobody say no to this question. You agree with me?
If you need me to help you move to a new apartment, I don't have a pickup truck, so I can't help you do that.
Okay. So nobody will answer no. Okay. And then you have to make an open question. Who should I call on your behalf that would need my help? You see?
It's yes.
Often when I ask for this question in my classrooms with my students who are professionals, they always ask for a close question using even the conditional. Would you give me a name of somebody? You know, it is not the best question. The best question is to ask, who should I call on your behalf, for instance? And the fourth, the fourth question is, when somebody is giving a name, why are you thinking to this person particularly now? Why? And one of the most important part also in when you ask for the question, who should I call on your behalf, is to keep your mouth shut.
Ah,
Because yes. The first who speak, the first who speaks, the first who lose.
Yes, lose. Yes. Huh? And God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason.
That's it.
Exactly. That's right.
Exactly.
So besides Dave Kerlin's book, Baseline Selling.
Yeah, very good book.
What books, maybe I should interview him. I should add that that book, we use HubSpot marketing and sales software for clients, and in the training that they offer to the agency partners, they try to help with sales, because a lot of agency people are not as familiar with how to sell their services, and they always recommend that book and another book by Mike Weinberg, New Sales Simplified.
I really like and I appreciate very much the books of Mike Weinberg, for sure.
What books have most inspired your working career, looking back?
Yeah, I won't be very original, because I have to speak about Dale Carnegie, of course.
Yes, but that's one of the greatest books.
Yeah, but I cannot say it is so incredible. The only problem with this book, it is the title of the book.
How to Win Friends and Influence People?
The title is not as great as the content.
Ah, why do you say that?
Because How to Win Friends, it's like something like I want to get friends and in life also, but it's more than that, what's inside this book.
Oh, it's somewhat limiting. Yes, yes.
It is a limited title because this book is really everybody has to read this book. It's so great, and it is even it was written in 30 in the 30s, something like
1936. I think.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, and still just as relevant. And not to keep talking about my daughter, who you've spoken to. She read that as soon as she graduated from college last year. That was one of the books I saw her reading. And I may have recommended that book to her, but I didn't rub it in because, what does dad know? yes, that's such a great book, and it's been mentioned so many times on this podcast. I should go back and reread that myself.
Every year. It's true, but I thought also I in French, I don't know, perhaps you will have an idea. In French, it's a second topic that I really like to read about. It is rhetoric. I don't know if you already interviewed somebody talking about rhetoric, about how Greeks and ancients can inspire us. But
no, I haven't.
I think there is, in France, there is an author, Victor Ferry. His name is Victor Ferry. And he wrote a book, 10 Lessons About Rhetoric to take control.
Oh, interesting.
It's
in French. I will have to find that. It's in French?
Yeah. Oh. But it reminds us that the Greeks, that Socrates and Platon and Aristotle, they all wise they were, and of course Dale Carnegie is still very modern, in fact, but Socrates also.
Yes, and that's why there's a resurgence lately of interest in the Stoics, and a lot of the. Yeah. So
and Ryan Holiday, he talks a lot about Greeks and ancient time, of course, also.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. So, are there any new or upcoming books that you look forward to reading or checking out? Obviously, besides the ones that you'll have written within the next 3 years.
Yes, in fact, I have to. You are responsible of compulsive need to buy books about sales and marketing.
Yes,
it's your fault. In fact,
I hear from a lot of listeners who say they don't have a drinking problem; they have a book buying problem.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
So it's a better investment than booze. Believe me.
Yeah,
I know people will be surprised to hear that from me, but.
But it's true that I ordered. I have just in front of me the expansion sales from Tim Riester,
Oh, yes. The Expansion Sale.
Yeah.
Excellent book.
Yeah.
You're gonna love it.
Yeah, for sure. So I have this one to read. And the second one, but because I love also history, is Robert Greene, The 33 Laws of War.
Yes. And I was at Costco the other day, and I saw they had a box set of all his work. And he was a mentor to Ryan Holiday as well. That's something I would really enjoy. Is that a newer one of his?
I don't know when it was published, but it's I really like a story also.
Yeah. Oh, I see. No, yeah, it was from 2007. He has the 48 Laws of Power, the 33 Strategies of War.
Well, that's it.
The Concise 48 Laws of Power. Yeah, those are phenomenal.
Hmm. I think very.
Yeah. I think I would enjoy that.
Mm, for sure.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Good. Well, at marketingbookpodcast.com, we'll include links to everything linkable, including your company site, your LinkedIn profile, links to the books that you mentioned. And to the listener, dear listener, please do me a big favor. I'm not going to ask you for a 5-star review, although if you do, give me one, please let me know, and I'll send you a little thank you. But I'm not sending you wine like Olivier Grand does. But if you would do it, I'd appreciate it if you would reach out to Olivier, even if you're not in France. Please reach out to him and thank him for spending time with this knuckleheaded podcast, or reach out to him on LinkedIn or on his website or whatever. But this is a real accomplishment for him, and he's a very good friend. And although we haven't met in person, we've become very good friends. And I think the authors who are on this show just can't get over how much they appreciate listeners reaching out and saying, hey, thanks for being on that show, or they start asking questions. So, I mean, I asked some questions, but feel free to reach out to Olivier and start asking him questions. So I'd really appreciate it if you do that. And if you're listening on your smartphone right now and you subscribe to the Marketing Group Podcast on your favorite podcast app, all these links can be found by going to this episode right now and clicking on the show notes link. The book is Performer en Vente.
Yes. It was perfect, Sam. It was perfect.
Oh, thank you. The authors, did you hear that, Pam? That's my wife. The authors are Olivier Cusack, Alexandra David Ardit, and Olivier Guérin. Olivier, thank you very much for joining us on the Marketing Book Podcast.
Thanks a lot, Douglas.
And that closes the book on another episode of the Marketing Book Podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful. If you are one of the hundreds of listeners who have left an iTunes review, let me return your kind favor by mailing you some Marketing Book Podcast bookmarks and laptop stickers. Just send me your mailing address anywhere in the world and I'll drop it in the mail. And since you're a listener to the Marketing Book Podcast and I read every book featured on the show, if I can recommend a specific marketing or sales book or other resource I know of for whatever challenge you're facing, send me a LinkedIn connection invite with a message indicating you're a listener so I won't mistake you for a spammer and ignore you, and I will do my best to get you pointed in the right direction. And remember the words of the entrepreneur and author Jim Rohn, who said, "Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune." Thanks again for listening to the Marketing Book Podcast.
This Valentine's Day, Dunkin's got the perfect pairings to show your love. So get down on one knee with a dozen brownie batter donuts and a cocoa mocha signature latte. Or make them swoon with a strawberry dragon fruit Dunkin' refresher with a Cupid's Choice donut. Are you ready for love? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.